Welcome everyone to the Women Entrepreneurs, this issue of the Women Entrepreneurs podcast. I am videocast. I am very excited to be here interviewing another amazing, amazing lady, Jessica Fiokovich.
Yep.
Fiokovich? Yes. Yep. Awesome. Yep. I got it right. I am really excited. We have this topic. I'm telling you, this is something that I discuss with all my women entrepreneurs at the beginning of their journey. And so I'm very excited to bring this topic because this is something that every entrepreneur, regardless of gender, needs to really take into consideration in the big picture of business profitability. And we will get into exactly what that is in just a minute. But first, let me introduce Jessica with a little bit of the formality portion of it. Jessica is one of the top experts in the business brokerage industry. She is the founder and president of X Factor, a proven method that helps small to mid-sized business owners maximize their company's value. This is really important. Your company's value, not necessarily how much money you're making today, but your company's value through one-to-one consulting services and online programs. Trusted advisors teach entrepreneurs how to successfully navigate and fully leverage strategies when buying, building, and selling their businesses. So Jessica, welcome to the We Podcast, videocast.
Thank you so much, Julie. I'm so excited to be here. This is one of my favorite audiences to talk to. So I love talking all things business and especially all things women in business.
Yeah, this is, and it's, again, it's such a good, we kind of talked a little bit before we hit the record button on the importance of what we're talking about today. And what we're talking about today is that building a business that is sellable. How to build a business that has value and is sellable. And that's so important on your financial success journey for your company. Before we get like really into the nitty gritty of that, tell us a little bit about Jessica. What's your background? What brought you? I mean, this is such an interesting area field to be working in. What brought you into this?
Yeah, it's one of those stories where there's no straight line in my journey, but there's a lot of weaving. And then I end up in this situation where it was the perfect fit for my journey the entire time. Right. So I grew up in New Jersey. I was not born to be an entrepreneur. Actually, I come from a long line of entrepreneurs, except for my dad. So my dad was in education and he chose that path because my grandfather had a chain of pharmacies back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, that time period. And he waited too long to sell his business and ended up having to close it. So my dad saw this downside of business ownership. And I was raised to go into a safe career with a large company. And so that's what I did. So I started in sports. I did a little work in corporate real estate development. But then in 2008, I was just a line item on a spreadsheet that got eliminated. So,
oh no,
I know, right? Like, and I'm sure a lot of people were that line item, right? I was not the only one.
Right.
So that opened my eyes that this safe and secure job that I was raised to do was not actually the safest route for me. So I opened my first business when I was 25 years old. It was in the wine industry. So very familiar with California, like we're talking about. Spent a lot of time there. Owned and grew that business for about 3.5 years and then hit a pretty significant burnout. I call it my early life crisis. And I decided at that time, the best thing for me was to exit or sell that business. But when I got to that day, I really hadn't planned for it. I mean, like I said, I started this business when I was 25. I didn't think I was going to be selling wine for my entire life, but I never had thought about that end in mind. So ended up being very lucky, to be honest, in the transaction of being able to find a buyer, being able to sell the business. But that started me on this journey of there's this entire micro segment of businesses that sell for small to mid-sized businesses. I started in the M&A industry as a business broker, started building a very small office to now one of the largest business brokerage offices in the world. But I still came back to my grandfather wasn't prepared to sell. I wasn't prepared to sell. And I saw hundreds of our clients that weren't prepared to sell. So that's what led me to Exit Factor and building this system or model of getting a business ready for sale or ready for exit. It doesn't have to be sale, but ready for transition for the owner out of the business in a method that's attractive to buyers and the next generation owners.
Such an important thing to think about. You know, I think it's currently over five post pandemic, over 5 million new business applications have been filed. So 5 million people are entering into that entrepreneurial space, whether it's a brick and mortar or a coaching business or, you know, something else. And so there's this huge influx. And I know in working with women more specifically, they tend to lead with their heart and they just dive in with sharing their passion or whatever it is that they're skilled and they're gifted in, and they want to share that and they want to build that business, that they don't ever really think about, what do I want to do when I'm 65? What do I want to do when I'm 55? What do I want to do? Is this the business I want to be running until the day I drop dead?
Yeah.
Or do I want to retire at some point? Or do I want to partially retire? Or do I want to sell the business that I am creating? I mean, for some of us, it's for some women, it's like, oh, no, I never want to sell. But when you really start drilling down to what do they want out of life, right? There is, it's like, oh yeah, I guess I don't want to be doing this for the, you know.
I know. And it's, you know, it's a joke that my mentor and I have together, but we always joke like, you will exit your business one day. It'll either be walking out the door with your head held high or you'll go feet first, right? Like none of us is getting out of this lifetime alive. We know that, right? So baseline. Right. But the other thing is too, is that, so baby boomers in general have owned an average of 1.2 businesses in their lifetime. Gen X will own 6 businesses in their lifetime.
Wait a minute. I didn't write that one down. Yeah. I have not heard that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay.
And the millennial generation will own an average of 8 businesses. Now this is specific to entrepreneurs, but it kind of follows career paths too. If you think about it, one, we're working way longer than we've ever had before. So, you know, our career duration is now from 20 to probably the people in Gen X, millennial will probably be working to, let's be honest, our 70s, some of us pushing our 80s, to dedicate your life. Think about that, 50, 60 years to one role is very difficult, right? We're going to lose steam at some point in a specific industry. We're going to be interested in something else. So I think outside of the fact that you're going to want to retire or do something, you're also just going to have different interests.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. So true. And I think that this is, we were mentioning beforehand that one of the reasons why I really liked this title and I like this topic is when I'm coaching or consulting with someone who is getting into the industry or into a, you know, into this whole world of, you know, business and entrepreneurship, is the fact that you have to begin your business, building your business with the end in mind. You have to, so many people will, simple thing, and I'm going to ask you what your tips are for making a business more sellable and valuable as a whole, but something as simple as what you name your business. So many put their name in that business. And there's nothing wrong with it in the sense that you want to take ownership of it. It has nothing to do with that. But you got to remember, if you are going to sell it someday, or even sell part of it someday, if it has your name in it, you got to go find somebody with your name.
Yeah. Well, and two, it can even be worse than that. So one of my favorite podcasts is Guy Raz, How I Built This, right? And there's a really interesting episode where Bobby Brown talks about her exit. Bobby Brown, for those who don't know Bobby, she had a cosmetic line that she named after herself. And it's a really interesting story because she did build a very successful business based on her name, which is unlikely, right? That is the one in the billion thing. But she goes through the story. And when she sold the business, she had to give rights of her name up. So she can never again use her name in business for profit. because I think she sold to Estee Lauder or one of the larger companies. So like in the most normal situations for each of us, naming our business after ourselves can be disincentivizing for somebody else to step in. It can be problematic. It can be expensive for rebrands and things like that. But even if you are very successful and do it, learn by Bobbi Brown. And like, I would like to maintain rights to my personal name in the future, right? But so even if you are that one in a billion, I think hers is like such a cautionary tale. It's like, you just don't want to do that, right?
Yeah. And it's one of those things that individuals don't always think about, because there are a lot of name-based, you know, so-and-so international or so-and-so consulting services or so-and-so coaching business. Like it's very, very common to see that. But if you are building, if you are branding products or you are building any type of sellable services or coaching programs or whatever that looks like, that all has a monetary value, and that monetary value increases when you can sell that to someone else in a time when you either, like you said earlier, want to change your direction in life, or maybe even just want to retire, right? You want to make it worth it. Yeah. So in addition, so that's just one thing, but what are some other tips that you have for making or for having people make their business more valuable and more sellable should they decide to take that step and not just have to do as your grandfather did and just simply close the doors? Or your father, was it your father?
It was my grandfather. You're right. Yeah. So when I think about how to build a valuable business and prepare for an exit, I bucket it into two different areas, right? So the first area I'll talk about is quantity, and that means quantity of earnings. So the first thing is when you're looking at the value of businesses, you have to have a mindset shift of not revenue, but profit being the leading indicator. So we take a step back and you're right, Julie, like I've seen this and it's very stereotypical, but women in general, we have the businesses are tied to our hearts. We're passionate about it and we can't see the business for what it is. And what a business is it's a financial asset that provides an owner a return. That's the definition of a business, right? And a return is defined as profit, right? So quantity, when we focus on that first, is that you improve the quantity of earnings, provable earnings. So there's like some bookkeeping things and things you have to be in place to do that, that is adequate for a return on a business in your industry. So if typically businesses in your industry make a 10% net profit margin, that's where you strive to be at, even a little bit better. So, and typically, and this is all genders, right? This is not just women specifically, but I see with a lot of small to mid-sized business owners is we get so focused in delivering our service, doing a great job, being passionate owners, sometimes also like growth at all costs mentality, that we forget the return on the investment has to come first. If we don't have a return in profits, then we don't really have a business. So that's the first bucket that we typically work on. I'll pause there before we jump into the second one. Yeah.
And that's an excellent, and you can do that with not just your profit and loss sheets, but you can also do that with your time. I have a program called the 3 P's of the platform, right? The power, the privilege, and the profit of the platform that I have teaching entrepreneurs to go from a public speaker to a professional speaker, actually getting paid to stand on someone's stage. And I tell them, you have to figure out your ROI, and in that ROI, count your time as money as well.
Yeah.
Right. So what am I going to charge to go stand on this stage and do this presentation? How much time is it going to take? Because I can charge less if I'm speaking an hour from my house versus if I'm flying to Canada and on the East Coast, right? And it's going to take 3 days of my time versus half of a day of my time. That's all quantifiable in a dollar figure. Yes. And people don't always look at it that way. They're like, oh, I'm getting paid to do this, that, or the other, or this program is going to bring me this much, but how much is it going to cost me to promote that program or get that program out? So excellent, excellent piece of advice. Okay, number two.
Yep. Number two. So the second bucket is the qualitative parts of the business or the quality of the business that you've built. And that breaks down into, like, we usually analyze businesses and five different mini buckets within there, but it breaks down to, like, a couple things. One, the business cannot be dependent on the owner. So we're talking about name, right? And this is actually tied together, because if the name of my business is Jessica Fiakovich, the clients want to talk to Jessica Fiakovich, right? And so that's one component to it. But if you build a business around yourself without the help of others, then when you remove yourself from that business, you create a huge risk for that business to continue. Because now the customers and even your team members, you're the hub and all the hubs and spokes. Like, everybody is dependent on you, and they're fearful of a day when you're not there. So then when you go to sell that business, that creates a huge, not even perceived, just a huge risk for a buyer or anybody else stepping into your role, because now your customers and your employees are doing business with you personally, not your company, right? Mm-hmm. As a whole. So I know there's a lot of programs that work on how to achieve that. And it's easier said than done. And when you first start a company, it is dependent on you and you're wearing 15 different hats, right? But over time, to build that business that we talked about as a defined asset, right? It's not about you as the owner. It's about the system of the company you've built. So that's a really big area that we focus on. And then the second area is that there should be some type of transition plan, right? So you won't get out of every single seat in your business, but having really good processes and systems documented, training your team, having a transition plan of, like, what happens to me, a succession plan, what happens to the business if something happens to me. Those two really go hand in hand. But those are that key to unlocking the qualitative factors in a business and building a model that's sustainable. Now, there's a bunch of other qualitative factors that we look at in different industries and different situations. But, like, if you look at over the course of all businesses and all industries, every business has those two problems. It's too owner dependent in some way, shape, or form. And there's not a great process or succession plan documented for a transition.
Yeah. And I think that's, people get caught on that as well. They don't think about the policies or the procedures, that procedural manual. We're in the process for the last several months been working on really redefining that and getting that down in clear writing for our company, for Your Best Mind, my parent company, because of that specific situation. And it's so cost effective. It may be a pain and you may think, well, I don't really pay attention to the details of the day-to-day inertia of my business, but it's important to, because if you lose a VA, if someone in your company that you've hired decides to move on to a different company, there's this huge training void. Or if you're handing off a task because you're moving up and you're handling a higher level of things, and now you have to give this set of tasks to someone else, that training period is greatly reduced, which means the cost of that training is greatly reduced. If you have this nice, smooth description of what that role is.
Well, I think it's interesting because, like, we're just talking about, you know, Gen X and millennials are going to have 6 to 8 different companies, right? But it's the same in the workforce. And I think what business buyers have realized, in my experience, especially the sophisticated ones, is that turnover is a thing now. Like, gone are the days where people are going to stay in the same role, in the same job for 20, 10, even 5 years, right? So I think the most successful businesses have these processes and systems documented that you can handle turnover, including turnover in the owner role, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's where this realization is coming in. And if we switch our mindset again as business owners, as, like, yes, this person's my right hand today, and I am grateful and appreciative of the time they have with me, but I'm not going to wear rose-colored glasses and think this 25-year-old is going to stay with me for 30 years, then our mindset shifts of that. We have to have a system. We have to have a program and a model where everyone is replaceable, and replaceable in an easy, efficient, and like you said, in a cost-effective way.
Yeah. And for those listening that are thinking, well, I'm a solopreneur, so I don't need all this. You do. Because even if you're just using VAs, and I shouldn't say just, VAs are invaluable, right? But if you don't have employees, that doesn't mean that you can't greatly benefit by having all this information documented, because the VA is going to move. The VA is going to change. You know, something's going to, can shift, some role can shift. So great points. Great points. Now, if someone is listening and going, you know what, I get the point. I'm getting the message. I'm starting my business, or I'm 5 years into my business, or I'm 10 years into my business. And now I'm understanding. I get that I have to make some adjustments. So aside from creating a procedural manual, aside from, you know, starting to really watch and track my ROI, how long am I going to need? So for me, just use me as an example. At one point in time, and I set my business up as such that it has women entrepreneur, it's Your Best Mind's parent company, and it basically owns the bulk of the IP. I'm Brain Lady Speaker. I'm Brain Lady Julie. So I can break away from that at any given moment. And so my big goal for anyone, now I'm not going to do this anytime soon. Don't anybody watching this panic and think, oh my gosh, Julie's leaving. So I'm not going to watch anymore. Don't think that's what I'm saying. But what I will at some point in time do is Your Best Mind will be able to be sold, and I can utilize as an affiliate Your Best Mind's products and, you know, products and programs that are already there. Right. And I can just go out and speak, because that's my end goal, right? You'll be seeing me on a stage when I'm walking up with a cane and 95, right? Because you can't stop me from talking. But love the point is, as I'm looking at this going, okay, all right, how long of a, you know, how many years, how many months, how much time ahead of that, you know, that goal sell date for me, do I need to be thinking about preparing my business to actually pick up the phone and call Jessica and say, okay, I'm ready to sell?
Yeah. So this is, Julie, this is like one of the most popular questions I get, and my answer might shock you. But there is no timeline. You should do it now. So we started in our green room and we said, you begin with the end in mind, right? And so, yes, some of us do have long-term strategic plans of we're building this company to sell 3, 5 years, 7 years down the road. What will shock you and what inspired me to start our company is 95% of business owners will sell with no notice for a personal reason. So things like burnout, spouse changing jobs, getting relocated, different opportunities come to the forefront. Unfortunately, illness, sometimes even death of family members themselves, right? So these are the reasons that people sell their company, not because it was part of the plan. So what I usually recommend to people is every year, as part of your strategic planning, you evaluate what your exit options are. And so you could be shooting for this target of this exit of the sale of your business to a larger company for a large valuation 5 years down the road. And that's what your target, right? That's the aim you're taking. But each year along the way, you're asking yourself, what is my backup option? Is the company still positioned that I can go to market and sell it today, maybe for a lower valuation? Do I have the opportunity to transition it to an employee or a group of employees right now? Maybe I don't have any of those options, and my best option is going to be a structured wind down or going out of business. Key is structured, not just, you know, decide you're done one day. So it becomes part of your ongoing annual planning of, here's my target, here's what I'm shooting for, but I'm designing a company that can be sold any day because I don't know when I'm going to sell my company. I mean, the wine industry is a perfect thing. Like I said, I was 25. I knew I wasn't going to stick around that long. I didn't know the day I woke up and listed it for sale when I was going to sell. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I've been in M&A for 11 years now. I love it. I love what I do. I can't foresee doing anything else, but I can't predict what's going to happen 5, 10 years from now, even 2 years. Right. So having that option open all the time is what makes a company sellable. And because a lot of business owners don't choose that path, actually 8 out of 10 businesses end up not selling. So 8 out of 10 businesses go out of business. So only it's actually a little bit less than 20% are sold, and the rest just go out of business.
Oh, that just breaks my heart, because so many people put just their just everything of every part of their being they put into their business oftentimes. And it's not just the long hours, it's the heart and it's the emotion and it's all of that. And to hear that 80% just walk away, they just close their doors, you know, that's sad. So if someone's listening and they're like, okay, all right, I'm getting the message, but I need to evaluate where I'm at now so that I kind of know what it would be worth now or what I could expect to, or what I need to do, all that kind of stuff. How does someone find out if their business is even sellable? And then if it's sellable, how much is it worth? What's the value of it?
Yeah. So I say everybody's business is sellable at a certain worth, right? Like we can all sell our businesses, even if it's for a few thousand dollars. So we've developed what we call a value creation calculator. So if you go to exitfactor.com, drop all the way down to any page we have, it's embedded in our footer, and you can input your business information and it'll tell you what the business is worth today, whether that's zero to millions of dollars, and then also what the potential value is based on other businesses in your industry if you were to work and grow what we just talked about.
Amazing. That's a great tool. I'm gonna have to go do that. So that is probably the best. If someone wants to find out more about you, get more connected to you, going to your website, which is exitfactor.com, correct?
Correct. Yep.
That's going to give them. Now, do you have, let's say that, because we talked a lot about this endpoint, and when I was looking at your company website, it has a lot more than just help me sell my business kind of information on there. You have a lot of, it looks like a lot of information on just what you need to do now, even if you're not even thinking about it, like how you build that business. So you have either coaching, consulting, is that right, that you do for that?
Yeah. So we have a consulting program that we work with very small to very large businesses, and we help them build valuable companies for the future for exit, but while also providing them more time and money along the way. So if you think about it, if we're designing a company to sell, we talked about two things you have to do is you have to increase your earnings, which provides more profit to the owner today. And you have to build a quality business that's not dependent on the owner, which provides you more time today. So my joke with some of my clients is like, you know, why are we doing all this work to design this profitable business that delivers us a lot of time and freedom just so we can pass it on to somebody else? Like, why don't we enjoy that for ourselves for a few years, right?
Right.
So while we do work with mostly people that are, you know, looking for exit near in the future, there are some, I'd say, progressive entrepreneurs that are doing it now for themselves to be positioned to sell at any time. But like, they're like, hey, if I can get more time and money, like, I don't know who doesn't want that, right?
Right. Exactly. That's beautiful. So I encourage everyone to stay connected with Jessica here, and you can get with her on Facebook. She is the Exit Factor. On Twitter, or is it called X now? On twitter.com,
it's exit underscore
yep. Factor. Instagram, Exit underscore Factor. LinkedIn, the company profile, guess what? Exit Factor. Nice branding.
Thank you. We have a great PR team.
So I like to always, you mentioned what you have for the audience to go to investigate. I always ask the people I have on the show to give their best piece of advice or this biggest piece of advice that they would give for the entrepreneurs. And you had mentioned to us that you believe that women shouldn't shy away from franchising or buying a franchise. So you talk about franchising. Give us a little bit of the advice surrounding that.
Yeah. So the biggest piece of advice I usually give people is that life is too short to make all the mistakes yourself, right? And if we take that to the business world, so my business, Exit Factor, is a franchise. So we have franchisees across the country. My M&A practice, I'm on the other side. I am a franchisee. So I believe in the franchise model, especially if you're just starting out or you feel like you need support and community. So you're not making all those mistakes yourself. You want the mentorship, the camaraderie. Entrepreneurship can be really lonely, right?
Yes.
So I'm a big proponent of it. It's not the best fit for everyone. And I throw that out there. But if you are a woman that's newer in business, or you really thrive in a supportive, like community-based environment, I think franchising is a great option. You can still build a very valuable company, make a lot of money without having to be lonely and by yourself.
I like that. I like that twist, because a lot of times, and I'm not knocking, I know that there's a lot of network marketers out there that, and I love them, and some of them are my clients, and half the products I use are based on, you know, are from network marketing companies. So I'm definitely not dissing them. I'm not trying to say anything negative about them. Please don't take that this way. I do think that sometimes women, when they decide, and I do say women, it's a little bit more than men, because women, again, try to lead with their heart as opposed to their head, and men are the opposite. And I'm saying general, yep. You know, I'm not saying trying to stereotype or anything, but in my experience, the people that I've met, this is the situation over the last 20 plus years that I've been doing this, that we get that. We fall in love with a product, and we fall in love with this model, and we want to share it. We go with that. And I have seen so many women flip through so many different of those companies. So looking at a franchise might be a completely different model that might give them the more stability that they need. So
And what most franchisors do, and like what we do, is we work on, it's not so much about the product or service, because we know our franchisees are going to fall in love with the product. They're going to treat their clients well. They're going to do a great job. The support is developing you as an entrepreneur. Right? It's about how do you run a business? And so that's why I said it's also great for new entrepreneurs, because if you don't have those skills, maybe you start with a franchise, you build those skills, you build the confidence, and then maybe you go out and start your own individual thing. But it's about the focus on developing you as an entrepreneur. We know you'll take care of the clients. I mean, especially, we're still generalizing here, but especially women, I think one of their greatest gifts is that we will take care of our clients, even if it hurts us, right? Yeah. We will deliver a great level of service, but sometimes we don't take care of ourselves and our own professional development on what's best for us and what's best for our business.
Yeah. Good points. Beautiful, beautiful advice. Well, pardon me, Jessica, it has been a wonderful conversation. I think it's a conversation that needs to be brought to the table more often. More often. I think it's very, very valuable. And I appreciate you sharing your wisdom and your story with us today on the program. And thanks for being on the We podcast.
Thank you so much, Julie. I loved our conversation today. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So all of Jessica's contact information that I mentioned, we will have that in the show notes on our podcast page, as well as we'll put it in the comments on the YouTube channel. If you're catching this video later on, so that you can be sure to have an easy way to get back in touch with our guest today, because she's a powerful woman. And I think she has a great message to share. And I am honored that she shared that with us and the group today. With that in mind, before I close up, I'd like to always encourage everyone, get connected with We everywhere you can. Let me tell you, we have some very exciting things coming up. So exciting. January 1st, we're doing a soft branding, rebranding right now. We're still going to be We, but what We stands for is going to shift. So you're going to have to guess on that one. We've got a wonderful collaborative book coming out. We've got a private membership community where that is the focus, is that support, that business education. And we're really working to help women everywhere excel in whatever area of life they want to do so. So thank you for being in the group. Stay connected with us. If this was a great message that you liked and you're like, oh, wow, this is a whole new point of view, give us some social media love. Give us some thumbs up. Give us a comment. You know that all of those things, they tell the algorithm that this is an important message that more people should see, so they get it in front of more eyes. And we would love that. And you can always, of course, share. Share this video, share this message with other people. We would absolutely love that. And click follow on the Women Entrepreneurs podcast. And that way you can stay in touch and stay informed every time we have a wonderful new new guest on the show that we are bringing to your attention. With that, I'd like to, as I like to shut or close out all of my podcasts, I want everybody to just roll your shoulders back, take up a nice deep breath, go out there and simply enjoy every moment. Until next time.